There we go. From Genesis chapter 22, beginning with for the word of the Lord. After these things, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go into the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father, his father Abraham, Father. And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham looked and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went down and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called this place, The Lord Will Provide. And as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Not an easy text to preach about. And what I was hoping that we would draw from this passage today, beyond the confusion, let's just call it what it is, the lack of understanding of such a calling of God to Abraham that is so against what our understanding is about God's love and grace and life-giving care, is that some people, as they hear this text, think that, you know, it was never God's intentions for Abraham to complete the task he'd been called to in this text. It was, as it began for us, a time of testing for Abraham. But instead of getting consumed with trying to make sense of why this specific calling was placed upon Abraham in our text today, what I'd really like for you to wrestle with me with in this passage today is, beyond our questions, what kind of answers does this text provide to us about the faith journey of Abraham, Abraham's faithfulness, and God's faithfulness to us as we journey together? You see, as we hear the words of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he reminds us that Abraham was the father of our faith. It was Abraham's faith that instituted the gift of grace and life that Paul ultimately would preach about in the New Testament. He said it was his trust in God that gave him an opportunity to be part of the heavenly family. So let's dive in today and look at this text, maybe in ways we've not before, and find signs of Abraham's faithfulness that may also complement our journey of life and faith. Very early on in the text, we hear in verse 1 of chapter 22, where it says that God was testing Abraham. Well, friends, as we journey and wrestle with God's calling upon our life and our strivings to be faithful, we all at times will go through moments of testing, right? Moments of trials. Times that we'd rather not go through. I remember when I once worked with Caterpillar, the heavy equipment manufacturer. We went to one of their production facilities and they had these huge big pots, cauldrons of melted steel. And the hotter they would get the metal, the more the impurities would waste away. The metal had to go through a time of testing to be proven that it was worthy of the final product that could be used in a constructive way. Well, don't we all at times go through those moments of testing like Abraham, those trials and tribulations of life, family, faith, work, career, where we are refined more in the image of the one who made us, and we're more well equipped to do something constructive through Christ's love to the world around us. Also, a part of this calling today, we hear in verse 2, where when God calls us to a difficult task, hear me now as we think about this. If God calls us to a challenging new ministry in our lives or in our family, then God will make that calling very clear and very personal. As he did with Abraham here today, Abraham didn't have to doubt who was calling. It said in our text, Abraham, exclamation point, very clear, very personal. Monya and I traveled up to Paris, Tennessee yesterday to see some of our family up there. And she gave me my orders as we walked into Gwen's shoe store, Montana and Grant's store there. And her orders were this: Jody, don't call my name while we're in this store. Because I'm notorious of tracking her down, wanting her to look at what I've got, Sally, to see how it looks on me, instead of letting her look around at her stuff. So I was kind of amused when we saw our friend Melanie, who lives in Paris, and she said, "Where's Monya?" I said, "Oh, she's over there somewhere. Won't you holler for her?" So she began. She said, "Me." That's what we call her. Me. Me, and no response. Finally, she said, "Monya," and Monya said, "I'm over here." She said, "I heard you saying me, but," she said, "I usually don't reply to me out in public because there's so many me's among us. I didn't know if you were really calling me." But when she said Monya, she knew it was her. Friends, God has a call on our lives. And when it's challenging, if you're wondering if it's God, then it's probably not God. As his call was to Abraham, it was crystal clear. Abraham. And Abraham said, "Here I am." So have courage as you're wrestling with what God is going to use you in ways to minister in this congregation. And to our community, as we revision how we better serve this community together, we want everybody in this congregation to have a job, to have a ministry, to be part of our work. As God places that call upon our lives, the call will be clear when it's of God. Abraham, here I am, Lord. Where can I go? You see, that's the other aspect of this verse in verse 1. Where Abraham responded immediately. He was receptive. He was eager to hear from God. Abraham was willing to put down the phone, to put away the distractions. I'm preaching to myself here. These things get us in trouble. They can be so consuming, can't they? They can disconnect us with family and friends that we're so busy that we often miss life and loving relationships. Instead of saying, let me finish this text or this email, when God's call went to Abraham, Abraham responded immediately, here I am. What if we would be more responsive to those in our life God has entrusted us to, instead of saying, I just got one more task? If we would put down the phone and be fully involved in enhancing our relationships together and better serving the world around us. That's part of how it means to be faithful. Also in verse 23, we hear where as Abraham began his journey, look at it again with me. It says that as he started out on his journey, Abraham rose early in the morning. He had a plan like Robert Goosby. He hit the road at 4 o'clock. He knew he had to get there to that construction job, right? He rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood and took the fire. He had a plan. Not only did he have a plan, but he had the tools to achieve the job that he knew he couldn't do alone. Friends, as God calls us to minister, we don't have to do it all alone. We, like Abraham, can take those along with us to be part of our team as he took the two young men and as he took Isaac and as he took the tools to serve God's calling upon his life. May we, you know, I saw recently, maybe some of you all have on Facebook or some social media, this guy was filleting a fish, a huge tuna, and he had this huge, it looked like a machete, and he made short order work of filleting that fish. And I thought, goodness gracious, there's one thing that had to be for certain is that that was some kind of a sharp knife. He had it sharpened for the task before us. Without any of those essentials, he would not have been able to complete the task if he hadn't had the fish, if he hadn't had the knife, if he hadn't have been skilled, and if it hadn't been sharpened. Friends, we need more than simply ourselves. We need others, and to sharpen the tools that God has given to us. That's part of our being faithful. That's what it means to grow in Christian discipleship. As our visionary committee's meeting to say, how can we offer more Christian discipleship here to everybody even more effectively? Because what are we doing in Christian discipleship? Christian education, Sunday school, re-looking at how do we do Christian education differently in a post-COVID world. What we're doing is sharpening our knives, sharpening our swords so that we can be God's good word in the world around us. So let us grow together and iron sharpen iron in our journey of more effectively ministering to one another and our community. Also in this transition or this journey of faithfulness, sometimes when God places a calling, a new ministry on us as a church, as a family, a new career for us individually, sometimes that journey, the calling God has placed us on, isn't as quickly as we would like it to be, right? You ever get frustrated with God's timing? Oh my goodness, I'm impatient. I remember we were traveling once to California and the boys were flying with us. We were on a commercial airliner and we had made smaller trips around, you know, this kind of region. 1 hour flights, Rosemary, with the boys. But this was a big flight, right? If any of you have ever flown to California, you're looking at probably a 5 hour flight or better. And we'd been flying. We were probably halfway there. And Luke, just a little bitty fella, he said, Dad, how much longer? I said, well, son, we're probably only about halfway. He said, man, Dad, this is the slowest plane I've ever flew on. Sometimes God's plane isn't fast enough for us, right? But if we'll slow down and trust God to be the pilot, we will end up on the preferred path where I get in troubles when I get ahead of God, when I want the wheel, right? Friends, God has a call upon each of us to be faithful ministers in His church, in this congregation, and the congregations beyond us. Trust God's timing, and it's not always going to be our timing. Be patient and rest in the Lord. That's what Abraham did. This journey, our scripture said, took 3 days, probably far longer than what he would have anticipated or hoped it would have taken. I'm preaching to Jody, and I'm preaching to you. May we be patient, wait on God, and know the joy of God's timing in our lives in ministry. Also, our scripture tells us in verse 5, I love this transition of the journey. Abraham had this calling on his life to go forth and build a great people. And this specific instance, when God placed this difficult calling on his life, when he got to the place, his destination, did you hear what happened in verse 5? Abraham said to the two young men with him, you wait here. The boy and I will go over there. Then we'll come back to you. But for now, we are going here and we're going to worship. See, I don't know about y'all. It's tempting for me to get so busy with life, with goals. We talk about that, Lynn, often. We're task-oriented. We got that list we want to do. We want to check it off, right? As if it all depends upon us. And even in the midst of Abraham's list, did you hear what he did? He stopped. And along the journey, he counted his blessings and worshiped God and remembered the whole purpose of the journey. See, if we get so wrapped up in the task, the accomplishments, we can lose sight of what we're working for in the whole. Our mission here at RPC is to glorify and love God and love people by meeting them where they are and encouraging them in a lifelong journey with Christ. That begins with glorifying and loving God. You know, I saw a documentary or a little snippet on Nick Saban recently. One of the great, whether you're an Alabama fan or not, one of the great football coaches of our times and leaders. He said, you know, oftentimes we have five choices of what we're going to be in life. We can be bad. We can be average. We can be good. We can be excellent. Or we can be elite. And he said, no matter how much God-given talent you have, if you don't have the other attributes needed, all you'll ever be is good. He was saying, we want to be about being excellent and being elite. But you know, I think the opposite is true too on what Nick Saban said there. No matter how hard we work, if we don't remember that what we have is given of God, then it will only be fruitless. May we never forget the opposite of what he said. We have been gifted by God with special gifts to serve this world that only we have. And we'll never know the joy of life found in Christ unless we use those gifts to share God's love and light with the world around us. There is the joy of our salvation. Also in verse 6, it's a reminder here as Abraham traveled with Isaac in this difficult calling. I know there had to have been many questions in his mind. Why God? Why now? Why my child? Why would you gift me with a son? And then you're putting us through this time of potential separation. But you know what? I try to remember this too. Perhaps what was impactful on God's call for Abraham as they journeyed 3 days to Mount Moriah and then journeyed 3 days back. Can you imagine how their life may have changed forever? Those 7 days that they simply journeyed together with one another and shared life and fullness for those each other that God had entrusted them in a way they never had before. You know, there was a time in my life as I ministered in a pastorate. We've shared before, I've shared with you in Memphis, where I pretty much just burned out on ministry. And to be honest, the church. I was running crazy, and we were doubling in everything, attendance and budgets and personnel. And I was saying yes to everybody, yes, 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 all the time, except for saying yes to God and yes to my family. Those were the ones I was neglecting so much in losing my way of the essence of the faith. But ultimately, I learned that it's about glorifying God and saying yes to those most intimately God has entrusted us to. Friends, Abraham was committed to Isaac. May we have that same commitment to our family, to our loved ones, to not neglect them in the busyness of life and faithfulness. As Paul would say, we can gain the whole world, right? In 1 Corinthians 13, we can gain the whole world, but if we don't have love, Merle, we know it's worthless. And that love begins with those God has trusted us to most of all. Be love and light to them first, and then the world around. And finally, a couple of more points here. Sometimes on our calling, the plan will change. In verse 11, thanks be to God, the plan changed. What Abraham thought he'd be called to sacrifice in his son, God provided another way. Friends, that's a reminder to me to be faithful. To trust in Lord when we can't see the way forward. But to know if we are faithful to trust in God's way, He will lead us in the right path and provide what we need in a far greater way than He provided the ram in the thicket. God will provide for us what we need, and I even believe what we want to meet the fullness of joy and life in Christ. And finally, God gives us what we need to minister to each other. And as Abraham received that great gift, the text once again ended with Abraham in worship. In verse 14, he named that beautiful mountain, this is the place where God provides. Friends, it's my prayer as we revision this church, our individual families in ministry, that we will remember that this is a place that God has provided for us so that we can provide for the world out there His life-giving love now and forever. Amen.